We continue to read the article of the freedom of the individual, the freedom of Bala Sulam, from the book Kabbalah for Beginners, page 207. We spoke about a few things, we clarified two things. The first thing we clarified is that a person does not have a freedom of choice, and everything he has in this world is completely under the control of nature, and he has to be between his corporal and spiritual nature, and then he has to choose between this nature or the other. And only when a person is found between those two shapes of nature, two forms of nature, one can determine and do something, and this is this point of choice. And he might be found in spirituality or in corporality, but he's in the authority of the individual. He can be in the authority of the private domain by knowing that the upper force manages everything without asking a person anything, and what the human being goes through in his life is without determining anything by himself. The human being doesn't determine a thing by himself. He does not take part in anything that happens to him. And when he's being incorporated with the spiritual nature, then he gives oneself to this process, devotes to this process, this process that exists. But he does it by his freedom of choice. But he did this, he made this choice, and it's found in him, in this process. But the choice exists between those two states, between corporeality and spirituality. And thus the Creator had organized this world for us from one hand, and the spiritual world from the other, gave us the point in the heart. And when a person has this point in the heart, which is found between heaven and earth, then one determines his place of choice, his freedom of choice. And one's choice is only by building an environment by which he'll advance further and faster than by the path of miseries. And Bala Sulam explained in the previous paragraph that we can develop, advance by the path of miseries or by the path of Torah, by the upper light called the Torah, and light forms, the light shines upon the human being and brings him abundance, understanding, upliftment, and then a person awakens and performs the correction, realizes his correction faster than what the providence obliges the world to do by miseries. Like we see, the humanity goes through miseries time after time, generation after generation. Every time we feel bad in some kind of situation, we swap the situation because we have no other choice. But except from feeling this evil time after time and then changing the situation because we have no other reason, we have no other choice, there's another option to develop, and this option is found in the spiritual path. When the origin, the upper source, is revealed in front of the person, the upper purpose, that one is able to rise this purpose, to elevate this purpose in one's eyes, to regard it more than corporeality, and then one begins to yearn to be attracted to this goal more than the miseries force and push him with the whole world by the upper providence. And then one does not need those sufferings. He is going faster than what those than these miseries. And this misery does not push him, and he's attracted faster. And then then there's truly an adventure that one's going through. And this is called the path of the light, the path of the Torah. This is what we learned so far. And one has to have support in this path. He has to have an environment. He has to have books. He has to have a teacher. And so that these three factors will provide him this elevation, this upliftment to reach the goal. Because the goal itself is concealed, and one is unable to be impressed by it. He's unable to see it, because then he'll be impressed by an egoistic way. But the purpose is the attribute of giving that he's about to acquire. And thus one needs to develop, to gain importance, especially for attaining this attribute of giving, the attribute of Bina. And this can be done only by, this cannot be done by seeing the discernment of Bina itself, because the discernment will reject one, but by reading books and learning from authors, from true books that true Kabbalists wrote, which are Avraham, Moses, Rashbi, Ari, Bar Sulam. And then one will be able to take the principles of the path from there. His teacher explains these principles in a way that this person will be able to understand them, brings this person closer to these principles. A teacher is not someone who pulls one, who locks one on himself, but rather it is someone who directs a person towards the goal, not towards oneself. He remains on the side and does not take an actual part in it. And one has the surrounding or the society. His society, there are people like him who want to gain or reach the same goal. So they strengthen each other and give an example to each other how to evaluate towards this goal, how to rise towards this goal, how to build the right relations between the friends. And when one builds those relations, he's being strengthened and begins to see that the attribute of Bina, the attribute of giving, is above this world, above the ego in which this world is found to be in. And then we reach the paragraph that is called the freedom of the individual. The freedom of the individual. Now we have come to a throughout understanding of the freedom of the individual. However, that relates only to the first factor, being the bed, which is the first substance of every man. Meaning, all the characteristics that we inherit from our forefathers, in which we all differ from one another. For even when thousands of people share the same environment, in such a way that the other three factors act equally upon them, you will still not find two people who will share the same attribute. Meaning, if you will take each and every one, every individual, we can give them the same conditions, we can influence the same way on both of them. Let's say if we will do it and measure it in an ideal way. Let's take seeds, even if we will take seeds of wheat, we'll see that everyone are different. Because the individuality is not felt. But if we will take human beings from different parents, of course, if we'll take human beings from different parents, even if their parents will be the same, there's still a different corporation inside each and every one. But even if the rest of the data will be the same data, we'll see that the bed determines one's development. And the external factors, the certain conditions, can only hasten one's development and bring him to better forms. But everything is up to the bed. And that is because each of them has his or her own unique bed. It is like the bed of the wheat, that although it changes a great deal by the power of the three remaining factors, it still retains the preliminary shape of the wheat and will never take on another form. The general shape of the progenitor is never lost. So it is that each bed that had taken off the preliminary shape of the progenitor and had taken on a new shape as a result of the three factors that were added to it, and as a result of that has changed substantially, still retains the general shape of the progenitor and will never adopt the shape of another person who resembles him, just as the ought will never resemble the wheat. Thus, each and every bed is a long chain in and of itself, comprised of several hundred generations, and the bed includes the conceptions of them all. But they are not revealed in him in the same way they appeared in his ancestors. That is in the form of ideas, but only as abstract forms. Therefore, they exist in him in the form of abstract forces called tendencies and instincts, without him knowing their reason or why he does whatever he does. Thus, there can never be two people with the same attribute. From what we've just read, we can understand the importance of education, because everything you'll teach this generation will be as inside the nature of the next generation, in an instinctive way. Inner urges, tendencies that they won't be able to get rid of if they believe in them, even in an abstract form, even if they will take their form, it will be inside them and they won't be able to do a thing about it, meaning in a directed way we can influence on the original nature of the next generation. It depends only on the extent we will educate this generation, such an extent that you can enter values and things that are anti-natural to this generation, and then the next generation, it will be rooted in the nature of the next generation and will act in the next generation. The next generation will have no choice. It will have to deal with it because it will come out of it and will demand correction, fulfillment, some kind of relation. And thus, the education that is found in one's hands, in the hands of humanity, is the most lethal weapon, the greatest weapon to arrange, to correct the world. The only thing we have to know is, what do we want to join the bad in the next generation? What should it be, and what worthwhile of being there? The way it will awaken in the next generation is instincts. Simple, natural inclinations from within their bed. Yes. So, good education in this generation can cause the awakening of the spot in the heart of the next generation. It can hasten it. We do not create anything. By education, we add more and more factors which hasten development. If a person has to go through, from the beginning of creation until the end of creation, through a chain of situations that we cannot jump, skip over situations, but it depends on the extent that he recognizes every state, reveals the evil in every state, and sees a better state in the next situation. So he jumps from one situation to the next. He doesn't need to sit 5 years in the first grade and then a few more years in the second grade. He can jump through them. He can finish everything through a week. He can finish every class in a week. It depends on the extent he perceives things, dissembles them, understands the benefit, what should he take and what should he get rid of, the waste he should get rid of. So you give him tools, and the process is predetermined. The process comes from the root of his soul, and the Adam Rishon has to return to that same root, but has to go through this entire sequence as a witness, as a participant, someone who does it. Depends on the stages one goes through. And you give him vessels by which, tools by which he'll be able to do it in a better way, in a shorter way. And this is it. But we have nothing else to do. And this is the only thing we can do. The only thing we can do is accelerate time. And from the other hand, you see thousands of people in the streets, millions of people in the world, and they are unable to understand the program, to digest the essence of life, what do we live for, do I have something to do with my life. They don't have the tools to see themselves living and to see the process in which they're at. Why are they a part of this process? Where are they? For which need, and so on. So they lack these tools. Everyone are in different situations where one is asking, the other one finds the path and does it. You can do it in a matter or in a worse, but most of them just don't take it into any consideration. So everyone has the same conditions, but he has more or less vessels, more or less tools. And we can give those vessels to a person by education, that in this education will educate people in such a way that in the next generation he will have the tools or the vessels to understand better and to ask oneself more about the essence of life and to do something with it. So he will not reincarnate over and over again without any reason. So he will be able to finish his correction and will not have to return to this low degree of this world. As much as, despite the fact that we think that this world is a good place, it is the worst situation. There is no worse situation than being in this world. And gradually humanity begins to understand this by this path of miseries. And we can, and we, by education and by explanation, can bring humanity to a state in which they'll see it from the side of the light, from the side of, by seeing the upper situations, by seeing that there's no situation worse than this. And it's not that we pass from the situation to a higher and more state by dying, but only by correcting ourselves, by elevating ourselves. Yes, please. The general shape of the progenitor is never lost. That's what he said, but we're not there. We're in the necessity of perceiving the freedom of the individual. Know that this is the one true possession, the individual that mustn't be harmed or alerted. For finally, these tendencies in the bed will materialize and take the form of conceptions. When the individual grows up and attains a mind of his own, and as a result of the law of evolution that controls that chain and pushes it even forward. As it is clarified in the Article of the Peace, we learn further that each and every tendency is bound to turn into a sublime concept of immersible value. It turns out that he who eradicates a tendency from an individual and erupts it and uproots it causes the loss of that sublime and wondrous concept from the world designed to materialize at the end of the chain. For that tendency will never again be in any other body but the particular one. And here we have a question. If we commit coercion on someone and uproot his ability to develop or to express himself in some kind of a special way, then first of all, how can we know? How can we relate to everyone? Because by oppressing a person, maybe we won't give him an opportunity to develop, but if we will not coerce him, if we will not guard, maybe he'll be able to erupt and to cause damage. If we need to, in order to do this, we need to, in order to understand how to do it properly, we have to have the proper vessels. But from the other hand, there's the upper providence. The Creator leaves the world by level of the upper force, because initially we're found in a closed place called the soul of Adam HaRishon, the first man. And this is the place where we function. We can't just lose something or something will rise. There'll be some kind of an upheaval or pressure or corruption, but the end of correction is something that is predetermined, and everyone has to come to the situation through the path of Torah, through the path of miseries. But how can we prevent nice future from the inter-humanity? From the whole of humanity, but things are not as such, because if we act not according to the way we should develop, we'll later be clarified before the end of correction. We'll have to correct this. Of course, we correct this by forces and by a lot greater labor that we would have been able to do previously. That we pay for our mistakes. This payment is To begin with, there's a special thought that even by this, so we will commit those mistakes. That is, those mistakes are also predetermined, and so we will understand more things in the future, both from the positive and from the negative side. We cannot connect between those shapes, two shapes of the providence of the Creator, the individual and the general providence, that we cannot, that our mistakes are also predetermined and known. And still we have to make those, commit those mistakes, and then we have to return and correct these mistakes. But afterwards, after a person ascends above one's degree, sees that those things just fall in place. Because we just can't understand this, because we do not perceive the past, the present, and the future as one. Something, a measurement that is above time. The Rambam writes that our world is found below the speed of light. Even the Rambam says, the Rambam writes about it. And if we elevate ourselves above the maximal speed of matter to the spiritual speed, then we see those ends connect. And then there's no difference between me, whether I know or I don't, and the Creator planned this and I don't know about it, and then as if seemingly I do not exactly what He planned, and so on. But on the contrary, everything falls in place. And thus, despite the fact that he writes here towards to human beings that we commit mistakes, and that we, and this is the way we reincarnate once over and over again, that we have to correct this. We need to understand that it is said towards us, and not regarding the upper providence, because in the upper providence this process is predetermined up to the final, the last detail. Thus we understand that when a particular tendency takes the form of a concept, it can no longer be distinguished as good or bad. But such distinction can only exist when there are still tendencies or immature concepts. But in no way is any of that recognized when they take the shape of true concepts. Meaning there is nothing bad in the world, but everything is up to the way we use it. We don't know things. We don't know the shapes of the way we can influence by killing someone or hating someone or harming someone or speaking badly about someone. Because everything, if we seemingly, every way we seemingly harm our society, every time we harm our society, we can also use it, and it has the true usage in order to bestow, despite the fact that it is difficult for us to observe and to understand how can we hate someone, how can we take this tendency of hatred, of envy, and how can this tendency be beneficial, and how can it be spiritual. But later we understand how to use the inclinations and tendencies that exist inside a person. Everything one has in his soul, in his desires, inclinations, his rishimot, reminiscences, his genes, his heart and brain, everything one has inside himself in order to bestow. So it turns out that our development is up to revealing these tendencies and they became inclinations. That this development is something that goes forward, something new that develops. And here it seems as if we reveal things that really exist. No, I don't develop. I develop by returning to the past, understanding why I have those tendencies inside me, and realizing them properly. And, well, look, if we speak about the way generations develop, one generation to the next, what I said, let's take this generation and educate the generation, and later the children of this generation will come, and the generations will have right tendencies, proper tendencies. But you can describe this. Imagine yourself, you're like 30 years old, right? And now you're working on yourself. So you are in a generation which is called me and now. So I don't need to reincarnate to the next generation to die and then to be born again and to die and to be born again. now I begin to educate myself correctly, and a few months from now, I am found in my new generation, my next generation, the same me, but changed. This happens to me, not after my death. Don't try to cleave it onto bodies, into imagining bodies. You need to just glue it to the internality of an individual, that every generation is my next situation. So if I develop from one situation to the next in a criticized way, in a few months, in a few hours, in a few days, I can switch situations, swap them. I don't need to die and to be born once, to be born again. And this is what the wisdom of Kabbalah says. You have to correct yourself here in this reincarnation. Don't wait for your next reincarnation. Why? Because what will you have by reincarnating once more? You can realize those reincarnations now. Because what is a reincarnation? When now you make a restart inside yourself, you restart your system, and you begin to a degree from scratch by educating yourself, by giving yourself a new foundation. This is of being born again, because the Kabbalists that acquired a new strength and a new vision perceive the goal in a different way, and by new force, by new attitude, by new relation, it is called that he reincarnated. He reincarnates because during this life that you have in front of you, those 50 years, you can go through 20 or 30 reincarnations in the next 20 years. Why should reincarnate like this? What you should have to, you want to go to kindergarten again, to school, and to everything? You feel like it? Yes or no? Maybe yes, I don't know. What's the connection between this and the... What's the connection of what you're saying to the ancestors, to previous situations? Or to previous situations, when you take your previous situations, you begin to correct them. Because in advanced situations, we always take our previous situations. We've learned in the introduction to Talmud HaSeirat Sefirot, when we go through double and single concealment, and then we enter into rewarding punishment and to eternal love. Because we're found in this world. So I draw an Adam, a person here. We go to double concealment, then single concealment. This is the world of Asiya. This is the world of Yetzira. And we enter into reward and punishment. And this is revealed, the revealed supervision, revealed providence. And this is called the world of Bria. No, it's divided into a few more. And then the next stage is love. And this is the world of Atzilut. So, what they tell us is that the path begins, just like Baal Sulam says, there are two sides on the coin. First, you go through concealment. Instead of something being revealed to you, you begin to feel the opposite. You begin to feel confused. And there's nothing to do about it. This is the path. You go through many, many degrees here until you reach the machsom, the barrier, when you cross, when you enter revelation, when you begin to see spirituality, eternity, and ascend above this world, above nature. So when you ascend above nature, you return to double and single concealment, and you rise them to that same state in which you're found to be in. And this is called that your mistakes become as privileges. So when I went through this, the only thing I have is my tendency in this part of the heart. I wouldn't have said that I've went through those things, because I see those things inside me, and those worlds are inside me. Everything exists inside me, and then what I'm doing is when I turn and correct everything once, over and over again, until I ascend, until I elevate myself to the world of Insof. Yes. So it turns out, I didn't hear him. Why should one die? One should die to take his knowledge, with this knowledge will turn to an inclination, to a tendency. So people have this question, constantly have this question, why should we die? Because if every reincarnation, like a row of soldiers, we return to this world again, then why should we die? For to go to kindergarten, to school once again, until I reach the age of 25, 30, until I begin to be to have a bit brain or something. So I can take something from my experience and to continue it and to live for 2,000 or 3,000 years more and to finish with this. Maybe I won't need thousands of years. So the thing is that it is impossible to pass to the next degree in your development if your previous degree does not enter into your nature, does not become your nature, and it can become your nature only if there's a disconnection between the shape and the bed. When you get rid of your external shape, then this external shape enters into your bed and becomes a natural inclination. And then, in your next reincarnation, you are born with new attributes, with additional attributes, not completely new attributes, but additional attributes. Just like this seed, this nucleus, this cannot recreate himself, if it will not rotten and will not lose its shape, then the same thing applies to us, that we won't be able to create a new degree if we will not get rid of our previous degree, of our external degree, which is a body. And not only our body. Our body is only a result. It's only a copy of what happens inside. We speak about our inner body, meaning our character, our tendencies, inclinations, our habits. All this, everything I have inside of me has to be disconnected from this external pronunciation, this external appearance of every inclination, of every expression of inclination, to receive a new form. Instead of being stingy, I become squander or something. I begin to spend money. It is only changing our intention, changing our relation. And this is the only thing we need reincarnations for. So thus, if a person educates oneself and changes oneself in different shapes in his life, this can be done only by the light of forms, because the light creates a new degree for us time after time. This new jump, this new restart. So if the light does it, then you as if go through a reincarnation. It is really going through a reincarnation. And this reincarnation is an actual reincarnation. It is beneficial, because that's the way people live and die. There's no difference between reincarnations. There's no such difference between those reincarnations. But here, when you begin to determine the way you want to be, your next situation, the way you want to look like in your next generation, that you really this is called Israel Sacred Times. Israel go through many reincarnations. They sanctify times, because Israel, the ones who have an inclination to reach the Creator, so by doing so, you do many such actions and go through many, many reincarnations in one life. Because why? There was some kind of a Kabbalist living in the 15th century or 2,000 or 3,000 years ago, and he reaches spirituality. Why? Why does he deserve to reach spirituality? Because he went through all these reincarnations with this change, those thousands of years that you didn't even pass. He went through them during the time of his life, so he doesn't need to continue with this. He went through this, he went through those reincarnations, and since you existed in that generation alongside with Moses, alongside with everyone. But since then, you're still stuck, you reincarnate, you poor person, over and over again. And only now, maybe you have an opportunity to finish your correction. But he did it then. And before him, those reincarnations existed and used to spread theoretically. And he realized those reincarnations and during one life. He actually realized them in an actual way. when he gathered them, accumulated them into spiritual degrees, went through it, and that's it, finished his correction. So let's hope that we will be able to do the same. In addition, we have a phone number to ask questions, if you have questions. Okay, we have questions. Shai from Tveria is asking, should one disconnect from his environment of family and parents if it influences on him and does not give him the opportunity to advance? And Rav says that one has to disconnect from every bad environment, but what is the meaning of disconnecting from an environment? Because every environment from the group, except from the group in which I developed towards spirituality, that pushed me forward, then there's no other spirituality, and then there's no other environment, because I have to unite with my group, and I have to be united with it, because it helps me, it draws me forward. But every other environment, and even more so, this environment goes against my path, weakens me. And then of course that I need to be as much farther as possible, but close and far is not in the terms of distance, because it is according to my inner disconnection. I remember my relatives when I used to, when I began to learn Kabbalah, well, first of all, they actually thought that I'm going to lose my mind. They told me I didn't went through those things. And they said that I'm disconnected from everyone. I connect with a group of old people, with a bunch of old people in Nebrak, and I used to live in an honored way, in an intelligent way, in Rehovot there somewhere. But it's not that I disconnected physically, but I used to keep in touch, but, you know, calming them down by telling them, for now I'm okay, don't worry. That's the way I went through it. There's nothing to do about it. Your relatives are your relatives. We need to understand that everything the Creator arranges in life is arranged in such a way that so that we'll be able to determine the right relation to everything. And we shouldn't just reject everything, but we need to work on inner disconnection inside yourself that will not influence on you more than drawing them farther from you and begin to behave badly towards them. This is not what you have to do. Yes? There's Yaniv's question from Ramat Gan, and he's asking, how can I know that a surrounding is good? What is the criterion for a good surrounding? From one hand, we see that there are people that come to us directly. There are people that wander around in many other circles. When a person is not developed, it seems to me the spirituality might be some kind of a diet or exercises such as yoga or many other things. And then he's there for a matter of time, and then he comes here, and there are people that come here and see that it's dry, it's difficult, it's not something, and they return something else again. In their eyes, it is not descending to something else, it is ascending in their eyes. It is an ascension in their eyes. Meaning, each and every one has to check to figure out where he's at, whether he likes it, whether it is the thing he wants. I would have never recommended the person to stay by force in anything, in no group. And he has to accept everyone the same. If it fits, then yes. If not, then no. But don't believe anyone. Listen only to your heart. This is the only thing that Baal HaSulam recommends us to do. And also these are the things that we read from many, many other origins and sources. We need to correct our hearts and no more. Just like the Ibn Ezra says, that we come in order to give an answer for ourselves about the essence of life. Everyone, the way he feels it. And God forbid, don't be, surrender to any authority or to any important person or to external customs and beliefs and religions and I don't know. The only thing you have to do is to listen to your heart. And if one listens to his heart and sees that this is exactly what I wanted, and this is exactly the thing that I lack, and not because these say like this that this is the thing, or because others say that this is the thing, don't look on anyone. I hear, I see, I consider this in the most objective way I can. I do not look on face, I don't look on externality. I look only about the content of those inner things, and this is it. But the internality of things, so this externality will not confuse me. So if I agree in my inner point to connect to the internality that they show me that I've met in some kind of a group or a society, then it is for me. And if no, then it's not. And even here, people that come to here and reveal that it is not for them, that they are still not ripe enough, then we don't hold them here. Everyone can enter and leave, because there is no coercion in spirituality. Everything goes according to one's inner will, inner desire. So this is the way one should relate to himself, to his internal desire, and thus we cannot give one criterions to check whether this is the right place or not, but only according to what he feels really inside his heart. Do we have more questions? Yes. There are two questions from Victor from Ganem. The first is, does the reason work directly from spirituality, and the other is whether there will be reason in the end of correction. We learn about the fact that the matter of creation is a desire. And if the desire would have received what he's asking for, what he is asking for, then the only thing he would have had is a desire. Because the Creator had created existence from absence, and this existence from absence is the desire. So when the desire wants to attain something, when the desire has a desire to attain something, then it means that there's a desire and there's a pleasure, and that this desire wants to gain this pleasure. Because the desire is not, the pleasure is not found immediately inside the desire. And then the desire searches for means to attain this desire, this pleasure. And thus, and this is the way a system is developed next to this desire, how to attain the thing the desire wishes for. And this is called a reason, a mind. In the mind, there's no other duty except from serving one's desire. And thus, in spirituality, of course, that we use a lot of reason and a lot of brains. And this is really the wisdom of Kabbalah, because it is a process of pretty complex study, how to attain. First of all, we need to know what is worthwhile. What should we attain, and is it really the best thing? And what is so special in it that it is so concealed? Why should it be concealed? And how will we be able to reveal that it is the best thing, the most beneficial thing? Because here we need to have a lot of reason. Because the person that develops here becomes smart and very sensitive, because his mind and heart develop simultaneously together by helping each other. And in the end of correction, the person acquires, in addition, except from this spiritual intellect, when he rises into the reason and understands the providence, the supervision of the world, the way the world is built, and the way the world is built, absolutely, the final atom. After this, the smallest particle, he feels the creation, the connection between all the parts of creation, between all the forces in the creation. Initially, it is being incorporated inside this person. This person is being enriched so much and develops oneself in such a way that he feels alive and speaking, the vegetative, the inanimate, everything. And everything is being incorporated inside this person. After he includes the creation inside oneself, he also reaches the intellect of the Creator, the mind of the Creator's mind. Because initially, he learns the providence of the Creator, the way the Creator leads everything, the way the Creator controls everything. And then it turns out that he learned the mind that existed before his creation, the thought of creation by which he was created. Meaning, he attains the observations, the forces, the systems that existed before his creation, the systems that created him. And this is called rising above one's own point. Above his own point. And this is elevating above this point. And this is the result we have to reach. When one ascends above oneself to the degree of the Creator, then he acquires the mind of the Creator, the thought of creation. Of course, that then the mind exists and develops even more than human ability. So let's return to the article. Wherein from, even today, if we'll have more answers, more questions today, then we'll answer these questions tomorrow. So we'll continue the article. From the above, we learn a terrible wrong inflicts those nations that force their religion and ministries, depriving them of freedom, of the ability to live their lives by the tendencies they have inherited from their ancestors. They are regarded as no less than murderers. Even those who do not believe in religion and purposeful guidance can understand the must of preserving the freedom of the individual out of watching the systems of nature. For we can see that every nation that ever fell did not come to it by due to the oppression of minorities and individuals, which had therefore rebelled against it and ruined it. It is therefore clear to all that peace cannot exist in the world if we do not take into consideration the freedom of the individual. Without it, peace can never be, and ruin shall prevail. Because it is against the general law of reality that everyone has to express oneself by resembling to the Creator and by reaching His degree. And thus, everything we do against it, that interferes this realization, this implementation, harms us all and brings disasters. This is the only thing that is taken into consideration, because the general formula, the general action towards us is to bring each and every one of us in every moment of his life, bring those souls in every moment in the best and optimal way to the end of correction. And if we act against this force, we do something against this general providence, then we make this bring disasters upon himself in everything, in many states, in every occupation of ours in this world. And thus, in order to know how to reach this freedom, so that everyone will have a freedom to realize, a freedom of realization, the way you will realize, it is a totally different problem, because it is between him and the upper force. But the society should be arranged in such a way so it will not harm anyone, and will not press, will not pressure anyone, will not limit no one from realizing his freedom of choice. Because this is what a person actually has to do in this world. This is why he was born, this is why he is here. If you do not allow him to do it, then you act against the Creator. There's nothing else that you can do against the upper providence. This is the only thing you can do. Because there's nothing worse than interrupting, than interfering someone to realize his freedom of choice. And thus, by circulating the wisdom of Kabbalah and explaining the freedom of the individual, we act alongside with the upper providence. And somehow act towards general correction. So before the world will know where each and every person has freedom, is free, then everything else, we're like beasts. We have no freedom of choice, but we act according to these four factors alone. And the world will know this, will recognize this, and will begin to relate to each and every individual accordingly, to give one an option to realize oneself, because by doing so, he does a favor to the whole world. Prior to this, the situation in the world will never change, because constantly the upper providence will bring us more and more miseries, more and more pains. More and more pain, so that we will recognize our corruption. We would see. Thus, we have clearly defined the essence of the individual with utmost accuracy after the deduction of all that he takes from the general public. We now face the question, where, at last, is the individual himself? For all that we've said thus far is taken as the property of the individual, inherited from his ancestors. But where is the individual himself? Where is he who is the heir, who demands that we guard his property? Meaning, that's right, that a person has to develop freely such a way that he will have a reshimo, an inner gene, an inner foundation that he has to develop and resemble the Creator in that same foundation, to resemble the highermost degree. This is nice and that's okay, but where's this foundation? Where's this nucleus that has to develop? Can the person find this data inside oneself and to develop especially it? Let's give him this data, all the means, everything. Does the person know what to do, or doesn't he? Yes. But from all that has been said thus far, we still haven't found the point of self in man, which will place him before our eyes as an independent unit. But finally, what do I need to do with the first factor, which is a long chain compressed of thousands of people, one after the other, from generation to generation, that set the image of the individual as an heir? And what do I need to do with the other three factors comprised of thousands of people standing one against the other in one generation? The bottom line is that each individual is but a public machine waiting to be used by the public as it sees fit, meaning that he has become subject to two types of public. A, from the perspective of the first factor, he's become subject to a large public from past generations, standing one after the other. And B, from the perspective of the other three factors, he has become subject to his contemporary public. And that is indeed a universal question. For that reason, there are many who oppose the above natural method, although they recognize its validity. They take in its place metaphysical methods or dualism or transcendentalism in order to create for themselves a picture of some spiritual object and how it sits within the body or the soul. And that the soul which learns and which appears in the body and that is the essence of man himself. This force that gives the livelihood to our biological force, to our biological body, we call it life. But it is not life, it is a machine that functions in this way. The soul with its internality is not found in the body. It is something that has no relation to our biological body whatsoever. And thus we say that we have the inanimate, the live, vegetative, the live, and the speaking. We don't speak about some kind of an addition in our mind or sensation, but the speaking is a degree of its own, above the life, and we relate to the life as our life, and our vitality as the soul. We completely do not feel the degree of the speaking. This means choosing the rest, those metaphysical, transcendental systems or dualism instead of searching for this inner load that is found, but is not inside our body. It is not found anywhere inside our body. And it is that soul which learns and which operates the body. And that is the essence of man, his self. And perhaps this interpretation could ease one's mind. But the problem is that they have no scientific solution as to how it is possible for a spiritual object to have any kind of contact with physical atoms, to bring them to any kind of motion. And their wisdom did not help them find a bridge on which to cross that wide and deep creates that separates between the spiritual? How does spirituality influence corporeality, or the opposite? If one acts upon the other, then there has to be a connection. So what is the connection? So we don't see this connection, and we say that this connection does not exist. And their wisdom did not help them to find a bridge in which to cross that wide and deep crevice that separates between the spiritual entity and the corporal atom. The sciences gain nothing from all these metaphysical methods. But they also do not reveal whether they earn something or whether they're right or wrong, because there is no grasp in spirituality. They have no grip in spirituality in this. They might invent different theories to determine corporeality, or they really completely leave it and do not delve into this, because there's nothing to grasp. Then why should we delve into this? So there's double concealment and single concealment in this concealment, because there's something that is concealed that I don't even know that it is concealed, the way it is concealed from the entire humanity. But there's something that is concealed is when I feel that it exists, but it is concealed from me. And then it is something that is truly concealed, because this concealment is already a part of the revelation, when I feel that it exists. And because humanity does not feel that something is concealed from its eyes, then humanity invents many different shapes. But the path is such that those theories will bring humanity to great pain, and then humanity will reveal that there's something concealed here. From within the pain, they will reveal that something is concealed. So we'll finish our lesson for today, and we'll continue in the will to receive existence from abstinence, and this is the spiritual entity.